لايف، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، all praise due to Allah, we praise Him abundantly. Our brothers and sisters, we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's get right into it. Continuation of an amazing story that happened between Musa and the Sahara in the presence of Fir'aun and the Mala. Mus'ab, go right into ayah 71, please.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال آمنتم له قبل أن آذن لكم، إنه لكبيركم الذي علمكم السحر، فلأقطعن أيديكم وأرجلكم من خلاف ولأصلبنكم في جذوع النخل ولتعلمن أينا أشد عذابا وأبقى. قالوا لن نؤثرك على ما جاءنا من البينات والذي فطرنا، فاقض ما أنت قاض، إنما تقضي هذه الحياة الدنيا. إنا آمنا بربنا ليغفر لنا خطايانا وما أكرهتنا عليه من السحر، والله خير وأبقى.
بارك الله فيك. طيب here we go. فقال فرعون للسحرة آمنتم له قبل أن آذن لكم، أي كيف أقدمتم على الإيمان من دون مراجعة مني ولا إذن. Meaning how did you dare to embrace faith without any review or permission from me, without any consultation or a permission from me. استغرب ذلك منهم لأدبهم معه وذلهم وانقيادهم له في كل أمر من أمورهم. He was surprised by their behavior because of how they had previously been very well mannered with him and very subservient, and they pretty much followed all of his commands. Everything that he would command them, they would do. وَجَعَلَ هَذَا مِنْ ذَكْ. So he thought that this should be like the rest of the matters. ثُمَّ اسْتَلَجَّ فِرْعَوْنُ فِي كُفْرِهِ وَطُغْيَانِهِ بَعْدَ هَذَا الْبُرْهَانِ. Then Fir'aun went and he doubled down on his disbelief and transgression after that proof became clear to him. وَاسْتَخَفَّ بِقَوْلِهِ قَوْمَهُ. And then he belittled their intellect by saying, وَأَظْهَرَ لَهُمْ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْغَلَبَ مِنْ مُوسَى لِلسَّحَرَ لَيْسَ لِأَنَّ الَّذِي مَعَهُ الْحَقِّ. He made them think, and he said to his people, the reason why Moses defeated the magicians is not because he's carrying the truth with him, بَلْ لِأَنَّهُ تَمَالَ هُوَ وَالسَّحَرَةُ وَمَكَرُوا وَدَبَّرُوا أَنْ يُخْرِجُوا فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَوْمِهِ مِنْ بِلَادِهِمْ. Rather, that's because of a conspiracy that happened between Musa and the magicians. So they plotted and they made a plan to drive out Fir'aun and his people from their land. فَقَبِلَ قَوْمُ هَذَا الْمَكْرِ مِنْ. So his people accepted this suggestion or this kind of analysis from him. وَظَنُّوهُ صِدْقًا. And they thought it was real and truthful. فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ فَأَطَعُوهُ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. As Allah says another ayah, I believe it's Surah Al-Dukhan or Zukhruf. So he belittled his people's intellect and they obeyed him. Verily, they were corrupt people. مع أن هذه المقالة التي قالها لا تدخل عقل من عقل من له أدنى مش مشك من عقل ومعرفة بالواقع. Even though that statement of Fir'aun will not enter anyone's mind, even if he had a tiny, beany, little, tiny, meany, little brain. If you have a tiny little brain and you're aware of facts, you would have never believed the story. فإن موسى أتى من مدين وحيدا. Musa came from Madian on his own. Huh? وحين أتى لم يجتمع بأحد من السحرة ولا غيرهم. And when he came, he never met any of the magicians or anyone else for this matter. بل بادر إلى دعوة فرعون وقومه. Rather, he hastened to give دعوة to فرعون and his people. وأراهم الآيات. And he showed them the signs. فأراد فرعون أن يعارض ما جاء به موسى. فرعون was the one who wanted to oppose what Musa brought. Right? ف فسعى ما أمكنه وأرسل في مدائنه من يجمع له كل ساحر عليم. He is the one who made an effort to the best of his ability and he sent in the various regions to gather all the knowledgeable magicians. فجاءوا إليه. So all of them came to him. ووعدهم الأجر والمنزل عند الغلبة. Furthermore, he promised them that he will give them a good compensation. He will compensate them hefty compensation and give them a lofty status if they were victorious. وهم حرسوا غاية الحرس, and they were very keen. وكادوا أشد الكيد, and they plotted the greatest plot على غلبتهم لموسى, so they may defeat موسى. وكان منهم مكان, and they did what they did. فهل يمكن أن يتصور مع هذا أن يكونوا دبروا هم موسى واتفقوا على هذا على ما صدر؟ Does it make any sense that they had this plot with Musa and that they all agreed to have this happen? It doesn't make sense. So that's like a far-fetched claim and accusation from فرعون. الحمد لله. الشيخ يقصد هذا من أمحل المحال. This is among the most impossible of impossibilities. ثم توعد فرعون السحرة فقال. Then فرعون threatened the magicians and said, لأقطعن أيديكم وأرجلكم من خلاف. I will chop. Oh, I didn't read the English earlier. Oh yeah, it's okay. طيب, let me. I'll read right now. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نعم. Don't panic. Hey, so Pharaoh had said, you believed him before I gave you permission. Indeed, he's your leader who has taught you magic. So I will surely cut off your hands and your feet on opposite sides. And I will crucify you on the trunks of palm trees. And you will surely know which of us is more severe in punishment and more enduring. كما يفعل بالمحارب الساعي بالفساد. So he wanted to punish them the same way in Islam today you punish those who go against يعني المحارب الساعي بالفساد is the people that spread corruption on a mass level in the community. So when you have people doing violations, you can do a violation that is restricted in some sense to certain, to yourself maybe, to your family. And then there's the people that do mass, like mafia style corruption, like major drug dealing, major robberies of banks, or robbing multiple houses, robbing multiple cars. You know, any individual that gets involved, or mass murder, any individual that goes to the level of creating such kind of havoc, wreaking havoc in the Muslim community, then the ruling Islam is that those people should be, their hands and arms should be cut off from opposite sides. So the right arm with the left leg, or the left arm with the right leg, or they get crucified. And then they get crucified, or they will be exiled from the land. يقطع يده اليمنى ورجله اليسرى. You cut off his right hand and his left leg. ولا أصلبنكم في جذوع النخل لأجل أن تشتهروا وتختزوا. And I will crucify you on the palms of the palm tree, on the trunks of the palm tree, so you may become infamous and you may be humiliated. And by the way, my brothers and sisters in faith, this is one of the evidences that we use to prove that Allah Azza wa Jal is above the heavens. Because in the Arabic language, there are times where the preposition fi means on, means above. And here, Fir'aun said, لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْلِ. I will crucify you. If you want to get technical translation, verbatim translation, I will crucify you in the palms, in the trunks of the palm tree. And we all know that you're not going to be able to crucify anyone inside the tree. What is intended is on the tree or above the tree. So when we say Allahu fis sama, Allah is fi, don't think of the preposition in the heavens as in the heavens encompass him or surround him. We understand that Allah Azza wa Jal is above the heavens, above the throne, in a manner which befits His Majesty Jalla Jalaluhu wa taqaddasat asma'ahu. وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ أَيُّنَا أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبْقَى. Then you will know, you will surely know which of us is more severe in given punishment and more enduring. يعني بزعمي هو وأمته وأنه أشد عذابا من الله وأبقى. استغفر الله. He was claiming that him and his nation were more severe in punishment than Allah and more enduring than Allah. قَلْبًا لِلْحَقَائِقِ. In order to twist the truth. وَتَرْهِيبًا لِمَنْ لَا عَقْلَ لَهُ. In order to scare and terrorize the people that have absolutely no brain, no intellecto at all, zero. آية 72 يا مصعب. Did you read it? Oh, beautiful. طيب. They said, never we will prefer you over what has come to us of clear proofs. Pay attention to the beauty of what we're about to get into right now. Never we will prefer you over what has come to us of clear proofs and over he who created us. So decree whatever you are to decree, you can only decree for this worldly life. ولهذا لما عرف السحرة الحق ورزقهم الله من العقل ما يدركون به الحقائق. That's why when the magicians got to know the truth and Allah has bestowed upon them enough intellect for them to identify facts, أجابوه بقولهم, they replied to Pharaoh by saying, لن نؤثرك على ما جاءنا من البينات, أي لن نختارك وما وعدتنا به من الأجر والتقريب على ما أرانا الله من الآيات البينات. They said, we will not choose you and what you have promised us in terms of monetary compensation and also giving us that lofty status to become among the elite over, we will not select that over what Allah has showed us of the clear signs. الدالاتي على أن الله هو الرب المعبود وحده. The ones that show that Allah is the Lord who deserves to be worshipped alone. المعظم المبجل وحده. The one who's exalted and glorified alone. وأن ما سواه باطل, and that whatever besides him is false. ونؤثرك على الذي فطرنا وخلقنا. Nor will we choose you over the one who created us and fashioned us. هذا لا يكون. This will never be. فقد ما أنت قاد. So decree whatever you decree. مما أوعدتنا به من القطع والصلب والعذاب. Of anything that you promised us in terms of chopping off our limbs and crucifying us and punishing us. And this is amazing. This is amazing. And this is what Iman does to its people. Subhanallah al-Azim. This is what Iman does to its people. You have the guy threatening them to crucify them, to chop off their arms and legs on opposite sides, and you know, to impose on them and afflict upon them the greatest punishment. And in spite of that, they say to him, go ahead. The only thing that you'll be able to deal with is this worldly dunya. We will not give up on what we have seen of the bayinat. So you, O Muslim, gotta think about it. What is our attitude when the truth is brought to us? What is our attitude when the truth is brought to us? When the evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah are brought to us? Do we have the same attitude as those magicians who favored Allah Azza wa Jal over all their desires and all these threats and all these calamities? Or are we people who are going to negate, debate, object, deny, reject, and go away from the truth and avoid it and, you know, weasel our way out of things because we can't handle the truth? Think about it. Think about our position. إنما تقضي هذه الحياة الدنيا أي إنما توعدنا به غاية ما يكون في هذه الحياة الدنيا ينقضي ويزول ولا يضرنا. Whatever you've promised us, the most that you can do is regarding this worldly life, it will come to an end and it will not harm us. بخلاف عذاب الله لمن استمر على كفر فإنه دائم عظيم. As opposed to the punishment of Allah for the one who remains upon kufr, that will be permanent and great. It will be a great, great year, and not in a good sense of the word, not with the positive connotation, it's with the negative connotation. It's a great torment. It's a great torment, meaning it's huge. So the punishment of Allah for the one who remains upon kufr is perpetual, is eternal, is permanent, whereas the punishment of Fir'aun will come to an end as soon as they die. And those are people that know how to weigh things out, and they obviously chose what is best. وَهَذَا كَأَنَّهُ جَوَابٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِقَوْلِهِ. This is as though they're saying to him in response to his statement, وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ أَيُّنَا أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبْقَى. You will know who is more severe in punishment and more enduring. وفي هذا الكلام من السحرة دليل عن أنه ينبغي للعاقل أن يوازن بين لذات الدنيا ولذات الآخرة وبين عذاب الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. In the statement of the magicians is an evidence that the rational person should learn how to weigh the pleasures of the dunya versus the pleasures of the akhirah and the punishment of the dunya versus the punishment of the akhirah. You're always in this predicament where you have to basically select. Yeah, select. Which one we're back my khalif put the thing back. Hey, barakallah feek. Sorry about the lagging, it's beyond us. طيب, it's connected. وإنا آمنا بربنا مصعب. Did you read ayah 73? Yeah. تمام, أحسنت يا بابا. Indeed, we have believed in our Lord that He may forgive us our sins and what you compelled us to do of magic, and Allah is better and more enduring. إنا آمنا بربنا ليغفر لنا خطايانا أي كفرنا ومعاصينا. We believed in our Lord so He may forgive our sins, meaning our disbelief and our transgressions or our violations. فإن الإيمان مكفر للسيئات, because إيمان expiates evil deeds. والتوبة تجب ما قبلها. And as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم said, and repentance erases whatever preceded it. وقولهم وما أكرهتنا عليه من السحر الذي عرضنا به الحق. In regards to the statement of what you've compelled us to do of magic, which was supposed to oppose the truth, هذا دليل على أنهم غير مختارين في عملهم المقدم. This shows that they were not doing the previous work they were doing willingly. وإنما أكرههم فرعون أكرهن. Rather, فرعون kind of forced them to engage in this. والظاهر والله أعلم أن موسى لما وعظهم كما تقدم في قوله. And what appears to be the case, and Allah knows best, is that when Musa admonished them, as when Allah says, وَيْلَكُمْ لَا تَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا فَيُسْحِتَكُمْ بِعَذَابٍ. When Musa said to them, woe to you, do not invent a lie against Allah, lest He exterminate you with a punishment. أَثَّرَ مَعَهُمْ وَوَقَعَ مِنْهُمْ مَوْقَعًا كَبِيرًا. That this affected them and it had a great impact on them. ولهذا تنازعوا بعد هذا الكلام الموعظة. That's why they were debating, going back and forth, and having this kind of, there was this noise going on between them after that kind of admonishment and speech. ثم إن فرعون ألزمهم ذلك وأكرههم على المكر الذي أجروا. But it was Fir'aun who forced them to continue, and he forced them to plot the plot that they had come up with. ولهذا تكلموا بكلامه السابق قبل أتيانهم. That's why they had repeated what he had said before they brought it forth. حيث قالوا, when they said, إن هذان لساحران يريدان أن يخرجاكم من أرضكم بسحرهما. They repeated what Fir'aun had said. Verily, these are two magicians that want to drive you out of their land with their magic. فجروا على ما سنه لهم وأكرهوا عليهم. So they followed whatever he had made for them as a way of life and what he forced them to do. ولعل هذه النكتة التي قامت بقلوبهم من كراهتهم لمعارضة الحق بالباطل. And perhaps this little tiny dot which was present in their hearts in regards to them hating to oppose the truth with falsehood. وفعلهم ما فعلوا على وجه الإغماض هي التي أثرت معهم ورحمهم الله بسببها. And the fact that they did this out of hatred, out of being compelled, is what affected them and brought about Allah's mercy for that. Meaning, because they somewhere in their heart there was this thing of, I don't want to oppose Allah, I don't want to oppose the truth of falsehood, but Fir'aun forced them, so Allah Azza wa Jal guided their hearts. ووفقهم للإيمان وتوبة. Allah guided them to Iman and to Tawbah because of that goodness that was in their heart. And that shows you that goodness in the heart can bring about a lot more goodness. So never underestimate any good deed that you do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Do not belittle any good deed. وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِقٍ. Even if you were just to meet your brother with a smiley face. This is a good deed. This is a sadaqah. This is khair. This is ma'roof. So always be keen on having some sort of good going on in your life, because that little good, Allah Azza wa Jal may use that to guide you to even greater good and better things. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا أَوْعَدْتَنَا مِنَ الْأَجْرِ وَالْمَنْزِلَ وَالْجَاءَ. Allah is better than what you've promised us of reward and position and status. وَأَبَقَى ثَوَابًا وَأَحْسَانًا. Allah better in terms of reward and in terms of excellence. لَا مَا يَقُولُ فِرْعَوْنَ. Not what Fir'aun says. وَلَتَعْلَمَنَّ أَيُّنَا أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبْقَى. When Fir'aun said, you will know who is more severe in punishment and more enduring. يُرِيدُ أَنَّهُ أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبْقَى. Claiming that he is more severe in punishment and more enduring. وَجَمِيعُ مَا أَتَى مِنْ قَصَصِ مُوسَى مَعْ فِرْعَوْنَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ إِذَا أَتَى عَلَى قِصَّةِ السَّحَرَةِ أَنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ تَوَعَدَهُمْ بِالْقَطْعِ وَالصَّلْبِ وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ أَنَّهُ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ. In all of the stories of Musa with Fir'aun that Allah mentioned in the Quran, in all of them, Allah mentioned what happened between the magicians and Fir'aun, warning them and threatening them to crucify them and to chop off their arms and legs. But it was never mentioned that he actually got to do that. وَلَمْ يَأْتِ ذَلِكَ فِي حَدِيثٍ صَحِيحٍ. Nor do we have an authentic tradition from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam that he got to do that. وَالْجَزْمُ بِوُقُوعِ أَوْ عَدَمِهِ يَتَوَقَّفُ عَلَى الدَّلِيلِ أَنْ كَمْ أَنْتُمْ جَمِيلُونَ يَا أَهْلَ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ يَا أَيُّهَا السَّلَفِيُّونَ. How beautiful are you, O people of Sunnah and Jama'ah, and the people upon the way of the Salaf. So that's why the Sheikh said to claim and affirm that it happened or that it didn't happen is dependent on the evidence. It's dependent on the evidence. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِذَلِكْ وَغَيْرِ. Allah knows best, because we don't have an evidence that they did get crucified or they get their arms and legs chopped off. Nor do we have an evidence that deny it, so we remain because we are people of dalil. If there's a evidence, bring it forward. If not, not. Which reminds me, there's a difference between now something of this nature about dalil and something which is known as a reflection on the ma'ani and reflection and pondering on the matters of the religion. So the video which we made about the five pillars of Islam being all incorporated or symbolized in the pillar of Salah, this is not a matter where you need to have an actual hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which explains that, because this is just what they call a latifa. It's a nukta. It's a little point of reflection, point of pondering. No one said that you no longer have to do the five pillars of Islam in order to, because you're already doing the Salah, because the Salah incorporates all five, so that you don't do Hajj and you don't fast Ramadan and you don't pay Zakah. Come on. And no one said this is from the Prophet alayhi salam for you to say who said and who didn't say and why umadriyesh will make this big fuss. Yani, I was surprised about all the comments being about this particular subject. It's a point that some of the people of knowledge have mentioned, regardless of who that person of knowledge is, because no one is claiming that this is aqidah, or no one is claiming that this is a matter of, it's a hadith, based on a hadith. It's a matter of reflection. And the entire ummah is, if you listen to Hassan al-Basri, most of his speech were reflections of this nature. Reflection, Ibn Qayyim, Ibn Taymiyyah, all of their work is reflecting on certain things and bringing out the lataif, those little hidden meanings. And they're just mentioned for the sake of encouragement. They're not mentioned for you to make a big fuss and, start worrying and say, who said this and who didn't say this before? This is not how you treat these matters. Let's say it was said by someone who's not upon the sunnah. Okay, let's say someone who's not upon the sunnah. Is that statement or that input, is it valid or invalid? You refute the evidence. Because I didn't bring you a name. Let's say he's a deviant person. I didn't say this deviant sheikh said it, so now I'm promoting a deviant sheikh for you to have your guards up. It's beautiful, by the way. It's beautiful that some of you are so keen and particular about evidence. Jazakumullah khair. That's the right approach. But there's also balance and moderation. If you don't have knowledge, then don't speak. One brother told me, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad." Do you even know what you're saying, ya sheikh? Do you even know what you're saying? What does the amal and what does an innovation and falling into innovation has to do with someone telling you, did you notice that in Salah, you're technically doing all pillars of Islam? It's just a point of reflection. You either see it or you say, no, I don't see it. I think you've pushed it too much. No problem. Okay, maybe. Maybe it was pushed too much to try to bring it. No issue. But it's not something that was attributed to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is not something that was laid out as something extraordinary. It's just a latifa min al-lataif. And if you read Islamic knowledge, if you come across Islamic knowledge outside of the book of fiqh and outside the books of aqidah, then, and even in the books of aqidah, the entire ilm is actually full of these things. But unfortunately, a lot of the brothers and sisters don't have knowledge of the Arabic language. They're only exposed to English speakers. And so they're really limited in the sense. And then they become really rigid. Don't be so rigid. You know me already. How long have I been doing this for you? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Not for you, meaning in front of you, for the sake of Allah. How many years? Many years. You know where I stand. You know my situation. I'm not pro bid'ah. I'm not pro deviance. I spend half of my time warning against deviant people. So you should know my paradigm, where I come from, and deal with me according to that, just so we can be fair with each other. Tamam. And of course, when I say that I'm doing this for you, as in, yes, I'm making an effort to convey whatever Allah Azza wa Jal allowed me to know with you as part of my obligation as a Muslim who has a little bit of knowledge. And so don't think that I meant something else than what I said. Even though it's a slip of a tongue, still, it's a valid meaning, because it's what's in my heart. I'm doing this for you. Yes, I'm making an effort, hoping Allah will accept from you. Wallahi, I hope and pray Allah will accept this humble effort. But at the end, it's for you. It's not for the camera. It's not for the monitor. It's not for the walls. It's for the Muslim community. And it's the job of every da'i to convey from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whatever he knows. بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً أي أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. We know in the other ayah. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةً قُلْ هَذِي سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةً أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. So this is my path. I call to Allah upon insight and knowledge, I and whoever follows me. So it is our job to convey to you. May Allah bless you and bless us all. طيب. ولكن تَوَعُدُهُ إِيَّاهُمْ بذلك مع اعتذاره دليل على وقوعه. The Sheikh said, however, the fact that he promised them to do this, knowing he was in a position of ability, is an evidence that this actually might have happened. ولأنه لو لم يقع لذكره الله. And also because according to the Sheikh's input, again, his reflection, huh? Tell him, Sheikh, who said this before you? And the Sheikh is saying, and because if it didn't happen, then Allah Azza wa Jal would have mentioned it. Because there's an agreement about those who conveyed this story to us. So basically the Sheikh is saying, we cannot say conclusively that they were crucified or that they were punished. We cannot say conclusively that they were let off and let go. Nothing happened. But the Sheikh leans towards the opinion that it probably happened, because what prevented it? What could have prevented it? We don't say it conclusively, but he does feel that this is the position he is inclined towards. Alayhi rahmatullah. طيب يا مصعب آية 74.
إنه من يأتي ربه مجرما فإن له جهنم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا ومن يأته مؤمنا قد عمل الصالحات فأولئك لهم الدرجات العلا جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها وذلك جزاء من تزكى.
بارك الله فيك. Indeed, whoever comes to his Lord as a criminal, indeed for him is hell. He will neither die therein nor live. We seek refuge with Allah. But whoever comes to him as a believer, having done righteous deeds, for those will be the highest degrees in position. Gardens of perpetual residence beneath which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally. And that is the reward of one who purifies himself. The Shaykh alayhi rahmatullah says, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى. I wonder if this will make it better for you if I enlarge this a little bit. Let's see. Not exactly. I wonder why. طيب. يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى أَنَّهُ مَنْ أَتَاهُ وَقَدِمَ عَلَيْهِ مُجْرِمًا أي وَصْفَهُ الْجُرْمِ مِنْ كُلِّ وَجْهِ. Allah says that whoever comes to him as a criminal, the Shaykh said, meaning he's a criminal from in every respect. From whichever facet you look at him, he's a criminal. وَذَلِكَ يَسْتَلْزِمُ الْكُفْرِ. And that necessitates that he's a kafir. وَاسْتَمَرَّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَتَّى مَاتَ. And that he remained upon this kufr until he died. So the understanding of the ayah is for you to be this kind of mujrim, the criminal, not just like one of us who commits crimes and sins. No, for someone to come to Allah as a mujrim in the ultimate sense, as in he has basically, from every way you look at him, he's in a state of crime. And that only applies to the kafir who has no good to offer because he doesn't have the foundation upon which good can be accepted. And he remained like this until he dies. فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمْ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ فَإِنَّ لَهُ Wait, this is a different one. Hey, the Sheikh is using another ayah. أَشَّدِيدُ نِكَالُهَا أَشَّدِيدُ نَكَالُهَا He will have the fire of the hellfire, the one in which the punishment and its revenge is severe. الْعَظِيمَةُ أَغْلَالُهَا The one whose chains are huge. الْبَعِيدُ قَعْرُهَا The one which its bottom, its depth is very, very deep and far. الْأَلِيمُ حَرُّهَا وَقَرُّهَا The one that has heat that is extremely painful. Allah al-Musta'an. التي فيها من العقاب ما يذيب الأكباد والقلوب The one that has such punishment that will cause your hearts and your livers and your kidneys, I'm sorry, to melt. ومن شدة ذلك أن المعذب فيها لا يموت ولا يحيا And to make matters even more severe, the one who is punished therein will neither die nor live. لا يموت فيستريح He doesn't die so he rests. ولا يحيى حياة يتلذذ بها nor is he living a life in which he could enjoy himself وإنما حياته محشوة بعذاب القلب والروح والبدن rather his life is filled with the punishment of the heart and the soul and the body الذي لا يقدر قدره ولا يفتر عنه ساعة the one that you cannot even measure Nor does it take a break, not even for an hour. It does not get reduced, not even for an hour. يَسْتَغِيثُ فَلَا يُغَاثُ He will seek help, but he will not be granted any help. وَيَدْعُو فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ And he will call, and it will not be responded to him. نَعْمْ إِذَا اسْتَغَاثُ Yes, if he calls, أُغِيثَ بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهَ As in Surah Al-Kahf, when he does ask for help, he will be given a type of help, which is a boiling water that will burn the faces. وَإِذَا دَعَانِ If he supplicates, أُجِيب, he will be responded to, بِخْسَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ Remain therein and do not speak to me. So that يعني should make your heart fall apart. That should make your heart fall apart and tremble. And realize the seriousness of meeting Allah Azza wa Jal with the kafir. That's why I say to my brothers and sisters in faith, especially in an era and a time where apostasy is on the high and atheism is widespread and people take these matters lightly and they think it's a picnic and that's just a matter of choice. You could be a believer, you could be a disbeliever, you could, you know, be a muwahid, you could be a mulhid, you could be the one who maintains the oneness of Allah, you could be an atheist, like it's all just a matter of choice. You must be out of your mind if you're not thinking about what the consequences of these choices are. Jahannam, for eternity, with all this and more. If you go through the Quran, and I've given a lecture about the scorching hot, it is terrifying. The description of Jahannam is terrifying. It's enough for you just to think about Shajarat al-Zakkum, the tree of Zakkum. طلعها كأنه رؤوس الشياطين. And then its fruits will be like the heads of the shayateen. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَآكِلُونَ مِنْهَا فَمَالِئُونَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ And they will eat of this until they fill their bellies. يعني the ayat are wallah devastating about the description of Jahannam. So we need to be very serious about our choices in life. Now we're all sinners. I begin with myself. But what I'm saying is maintaining our iman, maintaining our Islam, regardless of the difficulties that we face is the most important objective of life, period. Do not let yourself reach a point where your Islam is shaky or on the verge of being lost and diminished. Vanishes, perishes with the desires of the world. Because you have to bring to mind what will happen when you meet Allah, as Allah says, مُجْرِمًا إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِي رَبَّهُ مُجْرِمًا فإن له جهنم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيى. He will not live, he will not die, he will not live. Do you understand, O disbeliever, what is going to happen between you and your Lord if you don't repent to your Creator? And now I'm addressing the humankind. Any human being who's living on this earth enjoying the blessings of the Creator Almighty, the Almighty Creator, God, Allah, your Allah, my Allah. You're enjoying from Him. You have the vision He gave you. You have the ears, the hearing He gave you. You have the mouth He gave you. You have the mind He gave you. You have the food He gave you, the drink He gave you, the clothes He gave you, the PC He gave you, the phone He gave you. Every single thing you have is from Him. And your entire life, you have no time to investigate about Him and research and submit to Him and get to know Him and love Him and worship Him for your own good. Your entire life, you're busy and you're preoccupied with degrees and certificates and getting jobs in Madri Ish. And you know, there's been a discussion on Facebook recently from some of the brothers. And you know, those brothers have some wrong opinions of Brother Daniel. May Allah bless him. But he has very, very odd opinions regarding the people in charge and regarding, you know, takfir of the rulers, which I disagree with tooth and nail. I disagree with him. And I'm speaking with him, trying to get to the bottom of this. Until then, may Allah make it easy. So I'm making it clear that I disagree with him on that subject matter. But he has a very interesting post about the issue of education for women. And you see the feedback and the comments of the Muslims. Ya Allah, it's like the most important thing in the world is to get a freaking degree. Like, it's so important to become a doctor. It's so important to become an engineer. It's so important to have a job. It's so important. Even if you wind up going to Jahannam, it doesn't matter. Even if you go through a secular system that is made and put together to mess with your brain, it is put together to make you lose your faith. It is put together to make you doubt that the facts that cannot be doubted. Most people don't make it out of it except with a trauma, spiritual trauma. Like, if Yasir Qadi himself, who's supposed to be a student of knowledge, the Sheikh Yasir Qadi, he crashed into the wall head first. He's been speaking since that day. Doesn't even know if he sees a car, he thinks it's a truck. If he sees a truck, he thinks it's a horse. If he's on a skateboard, he goes on his head first and his feet are in the sky. Every day, rant, the Sheikh, mashallah, tabarakallah, with his reflections, umadri ish. Ruh ya Sheikh, Allah irhamak. He went to Yale. He's been yelling since. Just yelling nonsense. Y'all don't understand. This is someone who is grounded in knowledge. Many people leave Islam silently. Those our sisters become hardcore burnt out feminists, disgusting feminists. She's a half a man, three quarters of a man and a quarter, a man and a half. And her husband is a woman. And then you have shuyukh. I don't want to open up this discussion again. You know me. May Allah forgive us all. Ya jama'a, that's what I'm saying. So think about it. Is it really worth it that you send your children to a secular university where they mix with each other and there's alcohol and drugs all over the place and, you know, shoulder to shoulder between both genders and then all kinds of brainwashing? They meet all these people who make them feel backwards. Oh, you're wearing hijab. Oh, you're wearing niqab. Oh, what are you, a barbaric, a militant living back in the stone age? You need to wake up and join the world. Look at us, well, having fun. And people are weak. People are weak. So you're then, you know, the sister becomes a person that no one wants to marry. No one wants to marry, or the marriage will be a failure because she's already too old. And then when she wants to get married, she said, I spent my whole life earning this education. Now you want me to stay at home? No, I have to work. I have to continue working. خلاص روحي work. Go work and don't get married. You get married and you bring a maid to raise your children and your mom to raise your children and your aunt to raise your children and the neighbors to raise your children and the kindergarten to raise your children and the school to raise your children and you have no time to raise your children because you're busy making money. Okay, make money, stuff money in your throat, in your mouth, in your nose, in your ears, in your nose, and then what? Then you're going to be buried with zero, not even a cent, not even a penny. You're going to go with none of that. You want them to print your PhD work? your thesis and put it on your grave. So when we walk by, mashallah, who's the doctor? Wallah. Wallah, he was a doctor. Allah, big doctor. Doctor, al-doctor, al-sheikh Yasir Qadi. Type, what is he going to do when you meet Allah? What is that doctorate going to do for any one of us when we meet Allah? Nothing. Are you going to come on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Oh, by the way, I'm exempt. I'm exempt from everything today because look at this. From Oxford. I got this from Oxford. It's an accredited university. People, I am an educated, I am well informed, I know everything about this worldly life, but I didn't know Allah. It's not gonna fly. So prioritize, and that's something we really need to reflect on. You gotta reflect on this reality and make sure that your children, yes, we want them to be educated, especially for the daughters, we want them to be educated, but only enough for them to be able to survive. Not for them to become men in the workforce. They're being objectified and used as sex objects and used and humiliated and you know, frowned upon and criticized, and they can't do this and they can't do that. At the end of the day, you lose the community and the society. That's not how Allah Azza wa Jal structured it. Allah clearly says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, and remain in your homes. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى, and do not display yourself and adorn yourself like people used to do in the days of ignorance. There's a very clear guideline for the women. Yes, you can go out and you could do things. Alhamdulillah, we're not saying that you just stay in home the whole time. But you're going out is out of necessity. You going out is for a reason, not so you can become another woman in the workforce so that the men can, because men want women at work. Don't you know? Wallah, I work in corporate companies. I've worked in corporate companies. Men love to have women at work. As soon as one woman joins the workforce, there's a celebration that goes on that you don't even know about. I'm telling you, sister, there's a hidden celebration. That's all they talk about. Even people that appear to be practicing, all they talk about is, said, did you see? Allah, there's two, mashallah, there's three right now. All day, hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing? Allah, Sheikh, Ashfi. We know. And it's a fitna. And a male is created this way. Just so we can be clear, a male is created with this strong inclination to women. You cannot help it. It's being systemized and used against you. And you're just bragging about titles on the expense of Jahannam, which was just previously described. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide us. وَمَنْ يَأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُؤْمِنًا بِهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِرُسُلِهِ مُتَّبِعًا لِكُتُبِهِ. This is what you're supposed to focus on. This is your objective in life. Whoever comes to his Lord having believed in him, having believed in his messengers, مُتَّبِعًا لِكُتُبِهِ, following his scriptures, قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ الْوَاجِبُ وَالْمُسْتَحَبَّ, he had done righteous deeds, whether obligatory or voluntary. فَأُولَئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَى, those will have the high degrees. You want a degree? You want a real degree? There is right there. أي المنازل العاليات في الغرف المزخرفات, meaning you will have those lofty homes, these high homes with these adorned and decorated rooms. واللذات المتواصلات, and pleasure that is perpetual and connected. You never ever stop having fun. والأنهار السارحات, and the rivers which are flowing beneath. والخلود الدائم, and the eternal permanent stay. والسرور العظيم, and the great pleasure. فيما لا عين رأت, in what no eye has ever seen. ولا أذن سمعت, and no ear has ever heard. ولا خطر على قلب بشر, and has never come across any human's heart. You've never even thought or imagined what is in Jannah. وذلك الثواب, this reward. جزاء من تزكى أي تطهر من الشرك والكفر والفسوق والعصيان. It's a recompense for the one who purifies himself of associated problems with Allah, of disbelief, of corruption, and of transgression and sins. إما أن لا يفعلها بالكلية, either he doesn't do it completely, أو يتوب مما فعله منها, which is us, or he repents from the one that he does from among them. We ask Allah to accept our tawbah. وزكى أيضا نفسه, and he also purifies himself. ونماها بالإيمان والعمل الصالح, and he purified it, he increased it with iman, with faith and good deeds. فإن للتزكية معنيين, تزكية has two meanings, التنقية, purification, وإزالة الخبث, and the remove of in filth, the removal of filth. والزيادة بحصول الخير, and the increase in attaining good. وسميت زكاة زكاة لهذا الأمر, that's what we call زكاة زكاة, because for these two reasons, you remove that filth and then you increase it with good. So Allahu Akbar Kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asira, kam huwa jabilun dinul Islam, وكم هو جميل هذا الكلام. ورحم الله الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر الصعدي رحمة واسعة لما قدمه للمسلمين من خير، وجزاه عنا خير الجزاء وأدخله فسيح جناته والفردوس الأعلى مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، وحسن أولئك رفيقا، وجمعنا معهم بفضله ومنه وجوده، إنه جواد كريم. والله this is beautiful. And I hope and pray that you will benefit from this reminder like I want to benefit from this reminder, because that's what it boils down to. So reprioritize your lifestyle and restructure what you're aiming for, and focus that your children wind up among the believers who will go to Jannah, not that your children end up among the educated people that will go to Jahannam. And you will be held accountable for making those choices. You parents, I'm speaking to you, you will be held accountable for making the wrong choices. So we have to make an extra effort to make sure that our children are guided and on the right path. And wallahu waliyyu tawfiq wa alayhi tuklan wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We will end at this ayah number 76. And bi'idhnillahi azza wa jal, tomorrow we will continue with the discussion and see what will happen further between Musa and Fir'aun. And we will take your questions right now. Jazakum Allah khair. Alhamdulillah. Am I sinful if I don't want to pursue, you mean, a great career to be able to have more time for my deen and that go in contradiction with my parents' wishes? Look, something like this, you need to have a proper discussion with your parents. No, you're not sinful for not pursuing a great career, no doubt. And if your parents are forcing you to do something or to put you in a predicament where you're forced to disobey Allah, you do not have to obey them. If your parents are forcing you to be in a predicament where you have to disobey Allah, to go to a mixed university, mixed environment, disobedience, take a loan, pay riba, then you don't have to obey them. But you always want to do this on good terms with your parents, with a good discussion, good dialogue. You don't want to be at odds with them, because being dutiful to them is extremely important for you as well. Next. Brother Mus'ab. Mus'ab is my son who was reciting the Quran. Are you speaking to him or to me? My name is Wajdi, Wajdi, W-A-J-D-I. What do I say to my parents who want me to become a med doctor? They are pushing me to go to university in Canada so I can go back to home country and set up a clinic. I'm a girl. The answer is just what I said earlier. If they want you to do this, and this will necessitate that you are involved in all types of haram, traveling on your own without a mahram, being in a mixed university, then you don't have to obey them. But again, you want to negotiate with them in a way that is suitable and respectful. Involve knowledgeable people in your family, knowledgeable people in your community, the imam of the masjid to discuss with them. There are many options of distance learning. There are many options of distance learning that you could you could apply. You don't have to go all the way there. Wallahu alam. I cannot suggest to anyone to go through this secular education to earn a degree and then lose their religion. The only exception that can be made is if you are the only person in the family who could actually look after them. Let me be clear. If you happen to be a female and you are the only person, there are no brothers, no uncles, no one else who could look after your parents, and you're in a predicament where if you don't work, if you don't get an education, the whole family will be deprived and will suffer, then a mufti can look into your situation and give you that go signal. I'm not qualified to do so. Next. How should Muslims understand the history of the Arab slave trade? From my understanding, Rasulullah ﷺ said the curse of Allah is on those who enslave free people outside of prisoners of war. How do we understand it? There's a long fatwa on Islam QA about slavery. You should read it. IslamQA.info. Type in the search box slavery and you get the whole historic background of slavery and how Islam came encouraging to free slaves, not to remove slavery altogether, but to free slaves and so on and so forth. The fatwa is there in great detail. Mashi Abdul Aziz, Hayakallah. Next. Can you explain the difference between Mani and Madhi? And does it break the fast, and does having one of the character, one of them, make that one? Wallahi, I don't know, Habibi. But they don't break the fast. They do not break the fast. And the difference between them is many is the actual sperm or that comes out when you've reached when there's ejaculation. I know this is so graphic. When there's ejaculation and there's a climax, then it's that white thick liquid which comes out that smells like dough. Okay, that's how the scholars identify it. Whereas madhi is that is that transparent liquid which comes out when a man may get excited. And so the difference between them is many, obviously, yes, it breaks the fast. If according to the majority of the scholars, if it comes out while you're fasting, then it breaks the fast. Unless a person had a wet dream, then that's a different story. But if they've done something that caused it to happen, then yes, it breaks the fast. Whereas madhi does not. You just have to kind of sprinkle it with water or wash it off, and then life goes on. Now, where did that come from, ya Sheikh? Vimto, hayyallah Sheikh Vimto. Should we obey our parents on everything permissible in the dunya, like study, work, where we live? Yes, as long as they're not telling you to disobey Allah, anything that your parents tell you that is within the permissible, you should obey them. You're not even allowed to say uff to your parents. Adumi and Dumi. Did Islam spread through violent? What is this? Did Islam spread through violent conquests? What does Islam say about waging war and taking over countries? No, Islam did not spread through violent conquests. Islam spread through the da'wah that the Muslims gave to their neighboring countries. Not denying the fact that there were conquests in Islam initially, but that is not the primary mean of how da'wah and how people came into Islam. Hey, and there's a fatwa on Islam QA that breaks it down for you. Thank you, brother Indumi. Is procrastination haram? No, it is not haram, but it is something that you should avoid. It is not befitting a Muslim. Assalamu alaikum, Abu Mus'ab. Alaikum salam, Nashwan. I'm trying to convince someone to switch from Apple to Samsung. What's the biggest flex Samsung got over Apple? Habibi. An Apple phone is good for one thing in life. In your entire life, your Apple phone is one thing that it could do for you, and it could do it pretty darn good. Look in your house for any table that has four legs, wherein one of those legs is short. And because it is short, your table constantly rocks back and forth when you try to use it to put coffee. You see it's shaking. Or when you want to put something on, it's shaking. The Apple iPhone is the perfect item that mankind came up with to place under that short leg to balance out the table so you can enjoy your soup or your coffee or your snack. Period. Other than that, it's a retarded phone that does not progress, does not improve. They change the name. They add a little tweaks. It's been the same 12 megapixel cameras for Allah knows how many years. Lousy screen, which they buy from Samsung, by the way, but they buy the low quality screen from Samsung. It's not at par with the dynamic AMOLED 120 hertz refresh rate on our flagship devices. Lousy battery life, a lame operating system. For God's sake, it is disgusting. You're imprisoned by them so much so that if you try to come out a little bit, they call it jailbreak. And then they rip you off with so much money, and they make these phones in China using children that are underage. That's why there are many lawsuits against them for child labor, which they pay them like $10, $15, and then they make the phones. That's what you got with it. And then they're the richest company in the world because they suck every penny out of their customers. They are vampires, man. Even the basic thing, you want a Type-C charger? No, it has to be lightning cable. Everything which can be generic and standardized in the market for everybody else to use, they say, no, 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 we have to have our own. So that they can get commission and they can get money from all these companies that have to produce items in agreement. Oh, man, I can go on forever tell you how they've brainwashed people into sheep. People became so stupid. They would actually stand in a queue and wait for 2 days camping in the middle of the street so they can buy the phone similar to the one they have in their pocket. They don't know the difference between them. One was called iPhone 7. The other one was called iPhone 8. No, it's not enough. So I can go on forever, but my family is telling me to slow down. So I'm going to slow down. Don't ever ask me this question again, man. I'm telling you, man. Well, look at this S Pen. Look at this S Pen. Look, I can put it through my beard, take it out from the other side. Can you do that with an iPhone? I didn't think so. Next. How were slaves treated at the time of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Was it permissible to have marital sexual intercourse with them? Adam Simmons? Yeah, I'm skipping that. Fishy, fishy stuff. Did Allah create only Firdaus directly with his hands or all of Jannah? Can an average Muslim who fulfills the obligations and stay away from the prohibitions be admitted, or only the foreigners? It's all under the mercy of Allah. Yes, Allah Azza wa Jal created Firdaus with his hands. As far as I know, it's not the entire paradise. And yes, Allah, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the virtue of Allah. He gives it to whomever he wills. So, you know, if Allah wants to admit someone who's a miskeen, then Allah can do so. What kind of comparison is that? I didn't even get to speak about Samsung because there's no need to speak about it. It's already so much superior to this miskeen phone. I just showed you all the flaws in the iPhone. My family plans to move to a non-Muslim country for a few years. I'm living in the Gulf on my parents' visa, so I can stay here if they leave. What should I do as a female? Am I sinful if I go? If they allow you to stay, then stay. I would be reluctant to go to a non-Muslim country unless I have to. I don't understand. Zabua Mabua is in the house. I don't understand Ayah 15. Does it mean Allah Azza wa Jal almost kept the hour completely hidden but decided otherwise? No, Habibi. It's just an expression. It's an expression. This shows you how much the matter of the unseen is particular. That's all. We mentioned that in the Dars, by the way. If you don't understand beyond that, khalas, it's okay. You can move on with your life. You don't have to sit there and dwell on something that you don't understand. There's some things that you let go and you move on. Allah tests the ones He loves. If we have a peaceful, easy, blessed life, does that mean Allah loves you less? No, it does not mean. You cannot tell. Because also Allah Azza wa Jal facilitates, as we mentioned yesterday's dars, Allah facilitates the affairs of the people that Allah loves. So you could, Allah has given you a good life. It could be an indication that Allah loves you and is facilitating your affairs. It doesn't mean that you're on the other side of the spectrum. Now, it's unknown. It's from the unseen. Just do your job to the best of your ability. Is sleeping with the feet towards the Qibla a sin? Absolutely not. And whoever came up with this, may Allah forgive him for making life difficult for the Muslims. You can sleep with your feet towards the Qibla and your eyes closed also. Will the non-Muslim get rewarded for the good deeds in this world, like charity? Yes, according to the scholars, Allah Azza wa Jal rewards them in this dunya, but they get nothing in the life to come because they have the wrong currency for the akhirah. Now, what is fiqh? Is it necessary to follow a fiqh? Fiqh? Fiqh, يعني to wake up. It's a short for yafiq. Fiqh, you mean fiqh. Fiqh is the jurisprudence. It's the jurisprudence. And no, it is not. Of course, you cannot apply Islam. Fiqh is the application of the teachings of Islam in your daily life. So needless to say, of course you need fiqh. Because without fiqh, you cannot implement Islam. So yeah, you need it. Assalamu alaikum, akhi. Wa alaikum salam, Mr. Aymanu. Is alcohol and hand sanitizer najis? I need an opinion. I read an opinion that alcohol, even the chemical non-khamar one, is najis. And when it's mixed with something else, it becomes najis as well. The scholars have differed on the subject matter. I personally follow the opinion that it is not najis and that it is fine. I follow the opinion that it's not najis and it's fine. That's the opinion I adhere to. You could read the evidences of both parties and then you choose whatever you think will get you closer to Allah. How is one supposed to keep family ties if they have a large family, 50 plus, from aunts, uncle, cousins? Does one need to keep in touch with them, in each of them, or an individual level? I mean, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم. Allah does not burden soul beyond his scope. Fear Allah as much as you can. Do what we do. We have a WhatsApp group for the whole family. Uncle and aunt and madri ish. And then, you know, we go back and forth. And that's one way to keep kinship ties in this modern world. Alhamdulillah, Allah facilitated that. Apple is better. Yeah. Yeah, they've brainwashed you enough into believing that stuff. May Allah guide you. You said women shouldn't work What if the company allows her to work from home? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. If the company allows her to work from home, more power to her. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I have a long friend. How long is he? Like 3 meters, 4 meters. Who became? Okay, what kind of spelling skills are these? I have a long friend who became like a cater to me. She is a Shia, even studied Akul run by Shia. What? Studied Skull run by Shia. I distanced myself to her since I have found out about Aqidah and religion. Not even talk to her. Is it a right decision? Allah yirham ahlik, ya purify your intention. Wallah, you hurt me. This is a painful message to read. Can you please, I don't know, use Google Translate or something? I didn't understand. You have a Shia friend. Look, if you have a Shia friend and you're unable to give her da'wah, stay away from her completely. If you have a Shia friend and you're unable to give her da'wah, cut her off like she doesn't exist in this world. Yes, that is the right thing to do. Because those people are lunatics and crazy. They're lunatics and crazy. طيب. Yalla, yalla, next. Can we read Quran? Of course you can read Quran. Brother Mus'ab again. How are you? Ish fi ya jama'at al-khair. Alhamdulillah, I'm good, ya akhi. Barakallah feek. What's going on here? You said don't say this to a Muslim. Can I say it to a person from a deviant sect? Ash'aris, no, you cannot. Because if you say this, you're doing takfir of them. And you shouldn't do takfir of the Ash'aris. What is a stronger opinion regarding dhuhr prayer? Can we pray regularly or not? Oh, duha prayer. I was about to say. What is a stronger opinion regarding? Of course, it's the stronger opinion that you should pray it regularly. If you can, you shouldn't. You could pray it regularly. Now. What's the trait and dangers of the manhaj of Tamir, watering down manhaj? Well, I mean, I've discussed this in other talks, yeah, Ibrahim, quite extensively. I think the lecture, The Saved and Aided Sect, among other lectures, maybe Noah's Ark, I think we discussed those things. So I can't really repeat them, but you know, their traits is that they want to be wishy-washy, loving and hugging and, Jannah hug mentality with everybody out there, and don't, you know, malish, don't look at the differences and overlook this mistake and overlook that mistake until you don't even know the truth from the falsehood anymore. And of course, that's very dangerous because at the end of the day, it's the truth that is at stake because we're supposed to represent the truth. So there's some things that you have to be very pretty much emphatic and straightforward about, and the matters of the manhaj is one of those. Now, yalla, yalla, enough, guys. What is this? We're going to be here till tomorrow. I'm hungry. How can you balance ibadah and taking care of visitors? Most of the time when you have a visitor, you will end up not like read, use the Quran or leaving sunnah prayers, doing less dhikr and talking a lot. Tayyib, don't bring visitors over. Do visitors force themselves upon you? I hope not. So have less visitors come by. Really, really. Have less visitors come by. Make it only when necessary. Minimize your visitation to people and the people visitation to you. And when they're there, inshallah, you'll be rewarded for your intentions, because the only reason why you didn't read Quran or you didn't do good prayer, you didn't do volunteer prayer, is because you're trying to be a good host and, you know, entertain your visitors. So your niyyah will benefit you. But at the same time, don't every day you invite someone, or every day someone invites themselves to your house, and then you have to sit there and deal with them, and then you wind up never doing any good deeds. Wallahi, these people don't leave. Coffee? Tea? Coming? On its way? Come in and ishada. Have some control. Have some control. Hey, this is not a park. Every day you coming by. Amro, go to your home. It's not a hotel. You check in, you check out. Sheesh. That was the last question. There's more. What 10 more minutes? Okay, what are you guys doing today? We have nothing to do. I'm hungry. Can you give away gifts you've received? Yes. Yes, you can give away gifts that you've received. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. What a lovely brother. You give him a gift. Allah, خذ يا شيخ خذ كل هداياي. ما أبي شيء في الحياة الدنيا. خذ كل هداياي. Where are you in my life, brother? People give you a gift. You give it to me. I give it to someone else. And the gift goes around to the original giver. Say, hey, wait. I gave this to the brother. Say, yeah, the brother didn't like it. He gave it to him. Who gave it to him? It came back to you. Make sure that it's not going around with the same circle. You know what I'm saying? Like, give it to someone that you might not never run into again, or someone who doesn't know your friends. Lest your friend be insulted when he receives his gift back. Next. How am I going to go to uni? I am in America. They are mixed. Don't go to uni. Go to Ayuni, ya Habibi. Don't go to uni, Habibi. Do distance learning. Do distance learning online. Now every day, look, the whole world adjusted to online and homeschooling because of Corona. Because of Corona, the whole world has changed. Yeah, change with the world. Yalla. Can I give food to poor people I see on the streets during daytime? I live in a non-Muslim country and I don't know when they will eat the food. Will I share their sin if they eat in before Maghrib? Yes, you will, and you are not allowed to give the non-Muslims food during daytime in Ramadan, because the scholars say that the rulings of Muslims apply to the non-Muslims. And therefore, you cannot participate in working in a restaurant, offering them food, selling them food, because the rules apply upon mankind. They're just not Muslims to begin with to apply them. No, no, no. If your mother tells you to do something and your father would, who should you listen to? And your father, who should you listen to? And does it make a difference if you live with one instead of the other? It doesn't matter. What do you mean, does it make a difference if you live with one without the other? Your mother tells you to do something. Your father tells you not to do it. Look, if they're both telling you to do something halal, if they both telling you to do something halal, then that's a tough question. Because on the one hand, the Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, your mother has three times the right of the father in terms of good companionship. On the other hand, Prophet ﷺ said, "Anta wa maluka li abik." You and your entire wealth belong to your father. So I actually don't know. I actually don't know the answer to this question. Apologies, house table. Maybe, just maybe if you were a house couch, I would have known. I don't think so. How are you going to be called a house table, ya Sheikh? Uqsum billah, ya'ani zabuwa mabuwa didn't do this. House table? From all the things Allah created, you decide to be a house table. People put their coffee on it. People put their feet on you and you just relax. Stinky smell, socks, maybe even without socks, long nails with filth inside. Why would you want to be a house table, yakhi? Yakhi, be an air conditioner. At least give us some cool air. Be a wall, yakhi, we can lean on you. Be a window, we can jump out of you. But a house table? House table, yeah. H. Next. I'm sure you have an iPhone. I just have a wild guess. Is seeking intercession to Allah through the dead shirk? Of course it is. Of course it is shirk. And watch my lecture, Tawassul. Go on YouTube and type Tawassul. Tawassul, and put my name. You will get a fatwa, a long lecture about this, this issue of seeking intercession through the dead. Now, look who's talking about a silly name. There's no adhan. Oh, Iman's homeschools in the house. There's no adhan where we live. Is it allowed to use an audio file or an app to announce the adhan at prayer times? And do we recite after the muadhin if it's on the app? Jazakallah khairan. Yes, it is allowed for you to use this kind of tool to indicate that it's salah time, but you may not recite after the muadhin because that is not an actual valid adhan. So this is more like letting you know that the time of salah has come, but it's not a valid adhan because from the conditions of the adhan is a niyyah. There should be an intention, and I'm sure that this file or application does not have an intention. It's someone who recorded it. And so the scholars say for you to repeat after it has to be a valid adhan given by a aqil, someone whose mind and meets the conditions of the muadhin. And therefore, only then you could repeat afterwards. Otherwise, you cannot repeat. Now, so you can still use it to know the salah time, but you cannot repeat after the muadhin. What you should do is you should have someone in your house call the adhan. If someone in the house call you adhan, then you will get the reward of calling the adhan, and you get the reward of repeating after that muadhin. So assign one of the children, inshallah. Do I have to pray Taraweeh straight after praying Isha, or can I delay Taraweeh until the third of the night? It is the sunnah to pray Taraweeh right after Isha. It is the sunnah to pray Taraweeh right after Isha. If for whatever reason you had to on occasions to do so, ma fi mushkila, but that shouldn't be the standard procedure. That should be only when necessary. The actual sunnah is Isha, Taraweeh connected. Next. Let me die from hunger. No one cares. No one cares. How do we answer people who say, I wasn't asked before I was created. I didn't want to be born and tested in this world. You say, ya habbule, ya habbule, ya habbule. Let's say that you were eating tabbule. I'm sorry. Let's say that you were sleeping. You were sleeping and you woke up and you found yourself stranded on an island. You found yourself stranded on an island. And you were like, whoa, what happened? I was sleeping in my bed. All of a sudden, I'm on an island and I can't get nowhere. Oh, let me start and think. Who might have done this? Who might have done this? Is it John? Is it Jack? Is it Zuzu? Is it Well? Is it Ow? Or you, and then you die. You die while you're there trying to figure it out. Oh, I wonder who did it. Oh, and then ships are going by that could save you. But no, you're busy thinking, I need to know who did this to me. Who pranked me? Who got me off the bed into an island? That is called a dumb dummy. An intelligent person will be like, dude, I need to get the hell out of here. I need to make it back to my house. I need to make it back to my house. Once you're there, you can investigate who pulled this stunt on you. So now you're in this world. You could be funny and sit there, I didn't ask to be here. I didn't ask to be born or created. No one consulted me. Okay. And where are you? You're here. So shut up and get yourself saved. Make it to Jannah. Stop whining and complaining, because no matter how much you complain about you not being consulted, you didn't want to be here, it doesn't matter. You're already here. Be smarty. Thank you. Yeah, Ustad, my wife has zakat due on her wealth. Is it okay for her to give it to my father since he is jobless? Yes, it is okay. I mean, if he's qualified. Is the kid on Zad TV Mus'ab? If it is, mashallah, Allahumma barik. If it is not, no, mashallah, Allahumma barik. Yani, wallah al-azim shaghli. Yani, only if it's Mus'ab, you make dua for him, Allah barik. Otherwise, may he get destroyed and run over by a truck. Ma mashallah, Allahumma barik, whoever he is, he happens to be Mus'ab. Yes, y'all killing it today. No. This is too much. How stable? My name is Perfect and I'm used Samsung. I completely agree with your earlier rant. Okay, Habibi, I take it back. Because you use Samsung, How Stable is the ideal name for this username of yours. Oh, I was finally let go and allowed to stop so I can eat. Jazakumullahu khairan. What a lovely, lovely session we had together today. It's amazing that during the actual tafsir class, we have 60 people, and during the Q&A, we have 130. 60 people coming only for the Q&A. I don't know, maybe because you're from USA, but you need to stop playing with me. I want you to attend the actual tafsir class. That's more important. Assalamu alaikum. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.